This program is brought to you by Podcast One Sports. They're the premier football family, attacking each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. A former first-round pick, Pro Bowler, and current head coach of the University of Michigan, and the Patriarch, a national champion and renowned coach. While they're known for football, their legacy is so much more. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast with Jim and Jack Harbaugh.
Welcome to another edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, on to our ninth podcast now. Appreciate everybody listening in, hearing a lot of great feedback, a lot of positive reports out there from all walks of life. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 stars, write a review. Keep listening and keep trying to help us get better today than yesterday and better tomorrow than today. We're going to talk about the Rutgers game a little bit, our honorary captains, talk with Judge Judy, and talk about having a winning attitude in Jack Talk. So a good slate of topics. The Rutgers game, Coach, a good win, but good to get back on the right side of the win column.
Yeah, it really was. It was a hard-working game. Wasn't going to be a nice game. It was going to be a physical game. Rutgers is a very physical team. They've done a great job over there and really beefed up their ball club, especially defensively. And that was our mindset going into it. We wanted to run the ball and throw it with play action and take a few shots down the field. And we were able to do that. But our guys, the strain was there. You know, the work was there. And I really appreciate that about our ball club. We're in our ninth week of the season. And when you combine that with training camp all of August, and the guys are here, you know, just about every day. And they're working, they're practicing, they're lifting, they're studying. And I know they like it. I know they like practice like we all do that are in football. The real football players do anyway. The ones with passion do. But to do it day after day, you know, week after week, month after month, that you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of work, and that you know, showed up in the ball game again for us, the way our guys work.
Thing I noticed, and I had a chance to talk to Tim Drevno about it yesterday, is in football the real game is in the trenches, the offensive line and the defensive line. And so many people that come into the stadium and so many people that are watching it on television follow the ball. Mm-hmm. Where's the ball? They follow the ball. But the real game is in that trench. And the thing I noticed yesterday is how well our offensive line was able to redirect, was to react. And Woody Hayes, we talk about him a lot. He used to talk about, on the defensive side of the ball, there's 5 techniques that are involved. Come to your point, deliver a blow, control the block, find the ball, shed, pursue, and gang tackle. So what that presents to the offensive line is a challenge. You're going to come off the ball, you're going to attack a point, he's attacking you, and there's a giant collision right on the line of scrimmage. And now is where the game begins. You know, the ball's going somewhere, he's going to try to control you, you're trying to control him, he sees the ball, he's trying to get off the block, you're trying to react with your feet, you can't hold him, react with your feet, and you're trying to maintain a block and stay with the block. And I thought yesterday or Saturday, our players reacted so well in being able to maintain those blocks and, as you say, strain and readjust and stay on those blocks. Boy, I saw tremendous progress, and Tim and Greg Fry should be very, very proud of those young men.
Yeah, and they should be proud of the game plan they put together too. It was a really good game plan. There were some big holes, and as you said, I mean, we're just blocking two people, but blocking through them.
Right.
And as Bo Schembechler would say, the fullback is the identity of the offense, and I thought our fullbacks really played well. Henry Poggi, consistently, game after game, practice after practice. I mean, he will go in and face up a linebacker. And at times, some guys have tried to cut block Henry because he's been so effective. Also, Khalid Hill continues. You know, he's a versatile guy, a tight end, fullback, brings a lot of versatility to the offense. And, you know, will go in there and block and adjust and react as you and catches the ball very effectively out of the backfield. And also Ben Mason, number 42, saw more extensive action in this ball game. And look at the Caron Higdon touchdown run of about 8 yards. And you'll see Ben Mason make contact at about the 7-yard line. And Ben scored, didn't score the ball, but he scored with his man because he was able to block, sustain, redirect, stay on his man all the way in and through the end zone. It was one of those really special blocks. And so it, as you would say, warmed the cockles of the heart to see the offensive line and the fullbacks playing the way they did. Tight ends as well. Sean McCune had a really good game, really blocked well, caught 2 balls, 3 total, but 2 really contested catches and kept drives alive. Tyrone Wheatley, more action physically was very good. And our receivers blocked well as well.
You know, it's 83 Gentry.
Yeah.
Came here as a quarterback. And, you know, what, 6'6", 6'7"? Very, very good in the passing game. But he has made tremendous progress in line blocking from the defensive position as well.
He has. And, you know, this game, he's been really good at the point. He missed a couple at the point of attack this week. But he immediately got on somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, his guy got by him. But then he was able to get on a guy we had to get blocked anyway and turn and reacted and re-reacted. Great word. Great word you brought to the table today, because that showed up a couple times in the ball game where he didn't just stop on the play, you know, kept playing the entire 6 seconds of the play and came up with some really good blocks.
And just one other point, what you're talking about, to be able to do what we talked about for offensive linemen, there's really 3 things they're involved with. The first thing is technique. You have to play with technique. You have to play with a low base, power-producing angles. And the next thing you need is athleticism. You can be 350 pounds, and unless you're an athlete, you can't do that redirecting we're talking about. And the last thing is tenacity. Stay after them. And you don't have to move them far, 6 inches, a foot, 18 inches. You move them that far and stay on them, and that's when you get those gashing holes or gaping holes in the defensive line.
Well, Jack, I know you love the run game. I mean, how much were you marveling and reveling in the success of it throughout the course of the game?
There's nothing more impressive. When you're in about the middle of the third quarter, leading into the fourth quarter, and you watch the team lose their will. I mean, you've pounded on them, you've pounded on them, you've pounded on them. They don't come back to the huddle with much enthusiasm anymore. You can see him kind of looking around to see if someone might be able to come in and give him some help.
And it was a gem played by the defense too. There was 5 sacks, 11 TFLs, 9 different players had at least a half sack or TFL in the ball game. And Rutgers had been extremely good all season. They'd only given up 6 sacks the entire season coming into the ball game. And talking to Don after the game, there was 43 plays that totaled 51 yards in the game. And then they had 4 explosive plays that totaled 144 yards to their credit. But the number of 3 and outs, again, I mean, half the drives in the game, our defense got a 3 and out. And that was really, really big in the second quarter of the game. When we got some momentum on offense, we stuck a touchdown in and then made a long drive. And then the defense gets us the ball back. I mean, both of those touchdowns were back-to-back for us, but they came off of 3 and outs by the defense.
And Brandon Peters acquitted himself well with an opportunity to finally get some game action. Coach, what did you see out of him that you liked?
Saw a lot of good things, JT. Really conducted himself well. You could see that it wasn't too big for him. The stage wasn't too big. I mean, just the way he walked out there. I mean, he walked out demeanor, was of a confident guy who was ready to play, and then he got right in there and executed, you know, from the first couple throws he made to, you know, also bailing out of the pocket, making a tough throw on the sideline. There was a couple missed, but all that is really good for his experience. Build on the good things, and then have the feeling of, you know, how did that ball come out of my hand that I missed, or those type of things. But yeah, there's no glaring mistakes, and he handled himself with great poise. What do you think, Jack?
I think there's 2 plays that really stood out to me. One, in I think it was the second quarter, or maybe it was the third quarter, but he was a play action pass and had a deep route, you know, an alert deep. And he looked at it and he saw he didn't like it. And his eyes came right back down to a route right over the middle, a hook route right over the middle, and drilled that ball in about chest high. And it was a bang, bang type play with his eyes always down the field. And the other one, it was a rollout type play going to the sideline. And it looked like he was running out of room. Yeah. And your thought was, well, he's just going to dunk this thing into the bench.
When we hit Ty Isaac.
Oh, my goodness. All at once, he dropped his arm down and drilled that thing where it was a step into the onto the plate and field, then out. Yeah. But his eyes was down the field looking for throws.
And that came off of we were running a deep post route. And we were running a deep dig route, deep in route. And he didn't like it, saw it, and it was – it was covered, and that's we started moving to his right, and some pressure was starting to get there. And I had the same thought that he was going to throw it out of bounds, and then lo and behold, throws it to Ty on the boundary. Perfect pass. Ty got his feet in. Nice catch and a first down.
And for to have that kind of presence, in your first ball game was impressive.
We were fortunate enough to have the same honorary captains that the Baltimore Ravens did. The Ravens honored the Rulin family. Of the late Conrad Ruland, who played for you at Stanford and who was on the Ravens before having a brain aneurysm and then eventually passing away a couple days later. And Ralph and Mary and Warren and Austin were top-notch. And they brought the Ravens a 40-0 victory. They were confident that Conrad had something to do with that, as were we. And we were fortunate to have them. And I know you spent some time with them after the game. How did you enjoy your time with the Ruland family here?
Loved it. It's always been – one of my favorite families. Conrad played for us at Stanford and also played for us at the 49ers and then played with John at the Ravens. And Warren, who was Conrad's younger brother, also was a receiver, wide receiver for us at Stanford. And Ralph and Mary Ruland, I mean, salt of the earth, great people. Their son Austin is now playing in Canada. Just an incredible family. They're all three boys, as we were recruiting them, they all go in the eighth grade to Germany. They do an eighth grade year in the United States, and then they do an eighth grade year in Germany, and they become fluent in that language, and then they come back and go straight through high school back in the States. Conrad, nobody would ever say a bad word about, never, always supportive of everybody. Never a bad word to say about anybody else. Just a great guy, a great teammate, and a genuine, down-to-earth, good person, and a physical specimen. I mean, 6'5" and strong, and but a protector of people. You know, he was just a good, great guy. And now he passed away of a brain aneurysm early last year, and his organs, Rod Carew,
got his heart. Yeah.
And his kidney. Mm-hmm. And then other organs went to other folks. And Ralph and Mary, they're strong people. I mean, the strongest that there is. But it's you're never going to get out over that, or nor do they want to. They want to be with, you know, that the memory of Conrad and perpetuate that, and there's a cause there now that now I want to do that. I want to sign up for organ donating. It's and then Warren, what a stud Warren has become, now in his third year of residency, and a doctor. He's married. He's got a daughter who's 5 months old. We're having a prearranged marriage with John.
We're working that out.
Yeah, so that's in the works.
With your baby,
that's
John
good
Paul.
Gene. The Ruland's got great genes.
Oh, come on.
I mean, the best.
Wow.
So it was great to be with him. Just great to, after the ball game, that came over to the house. And, nobody's as nice and warm as Mary.
If you get a chance, the post-game celebration with the Ravens last Thursday night with the Rulands in the locker room,
game ball. For
game
Conrad.
Ball. They gave Griff Whalen, who's a member of the Raven team now as a wide receiver, presented the game ball.
Sure, Griff was teammates with with Conrad at Stanford.
And an emotional experience. And then Mary talks about, you know, getting the ball, and then the players and professional football players. Some had played with Conrad. Yeah. Some only knew him through the reputation that others shared about uh-huh. him. Came one by one by and talked and shared yeah. a memory. And it was just such a tremendously moving experience and a tribute to the Ruhlin family.
Well, there's been some recent documentaries on Conrad Ruhlin. I'd encourage people to Google those and listen to the story of Conrad Ruhlin. It's an amazing one.
And I was talking with the family after the game. I think they're doing work with Big Brothers Big Sisters. I know that there's a field being donated, a middle school field. In his name is being dedicated to him. So they're trying to continue the Conrad Ruhlin legacy. And those of us who knew him just know that no better people out there.
Can't say enough good things about the entire family.
Yeah, take up the whole podcast.
Yes,
so.
You would.
Just leadership types. I know we were talking about the quarterback position earlier. And Jack, I know you've had Jason Michael. And, Coach, you've had Andrew Luck and Todd Mortensen and all different types of quarterbacks. I'm just wondering – to the views of leadership, what common strands or themes do you see from quarterbacks that make them great quarterbacks from a leadership perspective?
They come from different angles. Jason Michael, the one you discussed, was our quarterback on our 2002 national championship team at Western Kentucky University. Mm-hmm. And he'd been a transfer from West Point. He had been there for a year, came to our place as a triple option quarterback. His senior year, he's there 5 years, finally had a chance to start. We had some other quarterbacks, Willie Taggart being one of them, and had a chance to start for the first time as a fifth-year senior. Didn't start off well. Our team didn't start off well. And we were playing at Northern Iowa. We had lost to Western Illinois. We had lost to McNeese State. I mean, we were stumbling around. Halftime of the game, it was a close game, tough place to play in that dome up there. In the locker room, I had made my little talk to send him out to the field. And all at once, this guy stands up, Jason Michael. We've been our starting quarterback for 4 weeks, had not had great success as a team, and stood up. He said, "It's time. It's time. I'm walking out this door, and I'm going to give every ounce of energy I have. I'm never going to play harder. I'm never going to play faster. I'm never going to be more prepared and do a better job than the second half of this game. Now, you guys want to follow me and you want to play like that, you follow me. And those that want to stay in the locker room, you stay in the locker room. Let's go." He let him out the door, and I was right behind him. "I'm with you, Jason." And we kicked butt about as well as any butt could ever be kicked in the second half of that game, and never lost another game. Won 10 consecutive games in the national championship, and about as much leadership as you could ever show.
And overcame McNeese State after having lost to them earlier in the year, beat them in the playoffs.
Beat them by the same margin they beat us, which was not pretty.
Handily.
Handily.
Handily. Coach, what about your various types of QBs and the leadership traits you've seen from them?
Well, I think a lot of people talk about personality and, you know, try to put that personality into some kind of mold, but there is not one. I mean, that the personalities are different from person to person. And it's by example, you know, how they work, how they train, how they prepare. You know, people like to follow people that are good and make the right decisions, and on and off the field, you know, that they like and they respect. I think they like them because they're not just about themselves. They know that they're about the team. I mean, people on human beings in general and people that are on ball teams, and they've got great antenna. They say dogs have really good antenna. Dogs can tell, you know, people that they like and who's good and who's bad. And but people are 900 times better with their antenna. And that's like the first thing I think people look for in a teammate, and especially a quarterback, is assess what is he about. You know, is he about himself or is he about the team? I think that's the first thing they're somebody tries to figure out with their antenna, and that's a big one. And that's a big one. I think guys on a team like a guy who's not all about himself, you know, that he's about the team, and then can go out and play good, you know, give the team a better chance to be successful. I think that's really important. and a guy who work. You know, it's an example that other people want to follow and should follow. Is he trying to get out of stuff all the time? You know, or is he really working? And I think the last thing is, I mean, a guy who's a real, you know, somebody that's a real competitor. You know, that competing, they love to compete. When you got somebody on your team or somebody that's leading your team, somebody that's a competitor, somebody that's a fighter, somebody that wants to win and give everything they have to, you know, help the team win, that's what they're looking for. And then last thing I'd say, maybe one last thing, if I may, you know, somebody that's a real guy and says, you know, says what he means what he says, you know, not phony, not a lot of listeners may not remember Eddie Haskell from the Leave It to Beaver days, but yeah, I think somebody that's leading your team, they want the genuine deal. They're not looking for Eddie Haskell.
He may have been the original politically correct guy, Eddie Haskell.
Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. How are you today? Boy, you look nice today, Mrs. Cleaver. It's an excellent dinner you just made, Mrs. Cleaver.
Everybody recognized for who he was.
When I look back, Coach, at the list of guys you've coached.
Don't want Eddie Haskell leading your ball club, do you?
No.
Unless he was really good.
At USD, we had Todd Mortensen, who was Mormon and 26 years old and bilingual and a concert-level pianist. And then the guy who replaced him was from Oakland Technical High School, right, and really good basketball player and, you know, young 19-year-old guy. And, I mean, opposite ends of the spectrum for sure, but had certainly a lot of those same leadership characteristics that you were talking about and led our team very well in the mid-2000s.
I think those two youngsters, you could put a check mark. All the things that Jim just described, if you would write those down, there would probably be about four or five of them on there. Each one of those young men would check off each one of those four or five boxes, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Even though they came at it from a little different angle.
And Todd ended
different
up,
personality, but they would to a T, wouldn't they? Just write
but
each
they would
one of them.
All check those boxes.
And Todd was the son of a coach, and I think he spent some time with the practice squad with the Patriots, right? So Belichick obviously recognized a lot of those traits. And then Josh had a 10-year career in the NFL and I think was with the Giants earlier this season. So certainly a lot of great characteristics with them. Well, I had to bring
Mortensen.
In one of our
– Todd Mortensen.
Todd Mortensen.
Shining star.
No doubt. Came to our Rutgers game last year. A great lawyer. Great family, having another
lawyer.
Kid.
I mean, he's got a law degree.
Leader
he's got
of
a
his
business school,
local
degree.
Faith chapter. Yeah, I mean,
does it all.
Married Miss Arizona.
Is it five daughters now or four?
I think
they just had their fifth
five.
Daughter. I
yeah,
think they just had their fifth.
He's putting me to shame in terms of like, you know, hey, got this going for me. Got this going for me. I'm like, well,
there you go. Now you figured it out. What kind of quarterback do you want playing the quarterback position? And what kind of, you know, that you are a running back.
That's right.
You're a quarterback.
Todd's a heck of a leader, heck of a guy, and I'm aspiring to get to Todd's level. We'll say that. Wanted to bring on our director of recruiting, a fellow MeUndies wearer, just to talk about all the great things about MeUndies. So I wanted to bring him in. We had Sarah last week help with the read, but Matt, your testament. We're going to share one mic here, or you'll use Iris. Okay, there you go. That'll work. So. Recently tried them. You've got the Panda Print.
Panda Print, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. And how happy have you been with your MeUndies?
It changed my life. Yeah, you know, changed the game. I got to throw out all the old underwear, old boxers, cotton, out the door.
Yep.
Going right with MeUndies now. Big order coming to the house soon.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a sponsored athlete maybe by MeUndies?
I would not use the word athlete, but sponsored would be fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So ultra soft, three times softer than cotton. Would you say they're about three times softer than
I
cotton?
I would say four.
Okay.
I don't know why they go with three. I think four times softer than cotton for sure.
And yeah. And you like the micromodal.
Micromodal. I didn't know what it was. I would like all of my clothes to be in micromodal now. You were floating on air. It was unbelievable.
And you said your animal instincts are really harnessed by the Panda Print.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going with Gator, Panda Print. I'm looking for a Wolverine print currently. So I'm going all animals. Just brought out those animal instincts inside of me.
Jack, you went Baltimore Ravens colors.
Purple.
Yeah.
Purple and black.
Yeah. And how do you feel about your color selection?
I have them on now. Would you like to have me?
No, we don't want to go there.
Okay.
Going to unsubscribe from that. And they've got glow-in-the-dark ones for Halloween. I mean, it'd be a little be too late to get them, but you can wear them for next Halloween. So right now, take 20% off the retail price. You get free shipping. You can get socks. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Just go to MeUndies.com/gym. And, again, that is MeUndies.com/gym, and you can get the best underwear of your life like Matt Dudek.
Absolutely. They have socks, too.
Yeah.
Really? Are they micromodal socks?
I don't know the composition exactly, but.
And, JT, as you're finding out about the socks, maybe for next week, can you find out if they have any long johns?
Yeah, I'll certainly look into
that. It's becoming that time of the year. And, also, I've progressed to just pretty much wearing long johns all the time.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I got them on right now. See?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and I've seen your blue long john top, right? Is that a long john?
Yeah, I feel like I feel it makes me feel even like in the spring or the summer, it just makes me feel like a cowboy. You know, you watch the old westerns and
get you some chaps, you know, some.
I don't need the chaps, but they would just be in there.
Are you a John Wayne cowboy, or what kind of a cowboy are you feeling?
Yeah,
like?
You just see him walking.
I'm just talking about some westerns that I've seen where
you've been in.
Seems like cowboys they always had long johns on.
Briscoe, you know, Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
I was in that, yeah. But I'm just not that one in particular. But
preferred color.
Has anybody else out there seen a cowboy movie and they're
preferred?
They're in the long johns all day long.
Yeah,
in
red.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, when they take off the chaps, they take off
at the saloon.
Yep, they got the long johns underneath. They're sleeping in the long johns.
Sleeping in them.
Absolutely.
Probably cold out at night. Absolutely. Even if you're in, no matter where you are. I mean, night it gets a little cold, right?
See miners. You know,
they've got their roll. They got the roll.
Yeah.
The undies are right in the roll that they put on their horse.
Yeah, you always see it hanging on the clothesline.
They sleep on the roll. They unfold that. They take it off the horse. It's rolled up, and they unroll it, and you sleep on it. You're sleeping outside.
Part of your survival kit in the cowboy life. Not that
I guess we digress, but I would be interested to see if they have any long johns.
I will look into their whole product offering. I know that they offer men, women, socks, underwear. We keep finding out more and more, and perhaps they're expanding their offerings to long johns with this.
All you have to do is go to the website, MeUndies.com.
Yeah, and /gym, you'll get 20%
off. MeUndies is getting their money's worth, whatever their sponsorship money is.
That's right.
We see very.
They request a 60-second read, and typically we go over that. And I think minutes now of MeUndies. I think
we underpromise and overdeliver here on the Tack Each Day podcast.
We're guilty of that.
So go to MeUndies.com/gym and get yourself a pair today. When we come back, we will have the one and only, the fantabulous Judge Judy on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You're listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right. I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively. At podcast1.com, the podcast1.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcast1.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Now back to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
Now on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, we welcome the incomparable, one and only Judge Judy.
Hello, my favorite father and son combo. How are you?
Hello, our favorite judge and person.
You've just made my day.
Well, I hope you got the chance to say hello to this senior. But I have to tell you, the day that we spent together is still one that brings a smile to my face whenever I think about it. And your energy and just great spirit and a joie de vivre that so few people have these days.
Well, we felt like we drew the long straw that day. We had planned that out, and then coming to the show and then being able to spend so much time with you, that was awesome. We started out eating lunch with you.
It was a great day.
Chinese food. We had a nice buffet there, and then you took us into your chambers. I don't want to talk about
and
the card game. I don't want to talk about the card game.
Judge Judy, do you remember the card game?
Do I remember the gin game?
Right, yes.
She remembers it.
I remember the gin game. Have you been practicing?
I have been practicing.
Well, then we're ready
For a rematch. Yes, I am ready for a rematch. You kicked
you
my butt.
You named the place.
You ginned
I watched
me.
You. I was having dinner, an early dinner in Los Angeles Sunday. I think it was, it must have been Sunday. And there you are, as handsome as you could possibly be on television, doing your thing. Is it Sunday night?
Saturday
no,
night?
No, it was Thursday night.
That was John.
That might have been my brother John. John, the Ravens played the Dolphins Thursday night. They had a big win, 40-0. We look a lot alike, so I'll take that.
No, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was watching it from far away. We were in a restaurant that has a television at the bar a long time, a good distance away. I said, my goodness, that face looks so familiar to me.
Well, we watch you every day. I got to tell you, we watch you every day. I watch it by the DVR and when I get home at night. And then my dad, he doesn't come to practice. Tell him why you don't come to our football practice at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
4 o'clock, Judge Judy. I'm going to be in front of my television
that's
set
it.
Every single
that's
day.
It.
Every
that's,
day.
That's it. Am I a guilty pleasure of yours? Do you sit back? Do you put your feet up? Do you have a cocktail at 4 o'clock? You know, that.
There is no distraction. I am totally mesmerized by the television set. And you know what I love about you? Your values. You don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, no excuses, don't point fingers. Every single day you send that message out, and I want you to know I'm your biggest fan.
With numbing repetition.
With numbing repetition.
You're really so sweet. But I think the truth is that the reason people have longevity in the entertainment business is because they are not acting.
Yeah.
there's an honesty. You can't do it for 20 some odd years and be projecting a phony message. I really think that the world would be a better place. America would be a better place if everybody took responsibility for what they did. You work, you raise family, you're a good citizen, you're a good neighbor, you have children that you're prepared to raise, that you're prepared to support, then when the time comes, if you ever need them, they're there to support you. This is just the way life is supposed to be. And somehow that has gotten really screwed up. But I think that there are enough people, Jack, who long for that kind of America again, that say, you know what, at least for an hour a day, I hear somebody in a very plain speak way, right, say, you know what? You have to be responsible for your own life. If you can't, we'll help you. Mm-hmm. If you can't, but not if you don't want to.
Yeah.
If you don't want to or prefer somebody else who's responsible for your life, that's not something that we should have to do. I don't know. Am I being too preachy?
No. Beautiful. Well Free. Said.
Beautiful.
Well said.
And if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory.
That is. And that is also true. I think I remember saying those words for many, many years, but I actually think that the genesis of that statement was Mark Twain.
Oh.
And I will give him attribution. I don't think it was said exactly the same way, but what he said, you know, you're telling the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. You don't have to be tripping on your tie all the time, because it's easy. And especially as you get older and you start and you start making up stories, then you not only have an older memory, but it's harder to remember the fib. So that's true.
And I read recently your contribution to USC, their communication and journalism school, debate program. Tell us about that. That just not too long ago opened up, right?
Well, I'll tell you about that. I think college campuses are supposed to be a place where you can exchange ideas.
Amen.
And you can't exchange idea if there's only one acceptable idea. And quite frankly, I was outraged at the fact that in a college in the United States of America, a speaker and the teacher who invited the speaker to speak at the college were not only not allowed to speak, but were assaulted. And that was at Middlebury. You may not listen to that speaker, may not have your perspective on the world or perspective on life. I think that it's sort of short-sighted not to listen to both sides of an argument before you make a decision. But to drown out opinion that is different from yours, and we're not talking about terrible opinion. I mean, we're not talking about KKK opinion. We're not talking about white supremacist opinion. We're talking about just a difference of opinion. I think is tragic for college campuses today. So the Scheinler Debate Forum is meant to be a place where you can come and listen to debate that is different, that may be different from your perspective, and it's encouraged. I went to the Oxford Union about 6 months ago to speak. And they have lots of different speakers from lots of different perspectives. And president of Oxford Union said, when we hear from some of our members, well, we don't want to hear that speaker. We don't think you should invite them. We uninvite the member. We don't uninvite the speaker. You don't have to come to hear the speaker. But this is a place where we want to be exposed to different ideas. I mean, it's like asking a judge to make a decision without having all the facts. I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous if you had a trial and only the prosecutor got to speak? Or you had a trial and only the defense attorney got to speak? That would be lunacy.
To quote my favorite judge, it'd be ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So that's the reason for the forum.
Love it. Love
Judge
it.
Judy, this is JT Rogan. I'm a co-host with Jack and with Coach Jim. And just wanted to let you know that we're going to have the Legal Services Corporation as honorary captains this upcoming week for our game against Minnesota. And they are strong proponents and supporters of access to justice for all. And we couldn't be prouder to have them with us.
Oh, that's very interesting. Absolutely. I think that that's a worthy and laudable goal in the justice system, so that if you are in the criminal justice system, if you are accused of a crime, the system has to be tested. You're supposed to have a quality representation, and quality representation doesn't mean only quality representation for people who can afford it. Sometimes you can't afford good representation, and the system can't be tested unless both lawyers are equal. You know, that levels the playing field. As you would say, that sort of levels the playing field. Mm-hmm. So it's all part of what's supposed to be right. And what I think that we all strive for, well, I know that I hear that the three of us strive for that. We want the right thing to happen at the end of the day.
Right.
At the end of the day, the right thing happens the game of football. You may win, you may lose, but if you lost, you didn't play the better game. And actually the right thing happens at the end of the game. And in the game of life, the right thing is supposed to happen. You do the right thing happens. And in the justice system, it's supposed to be a living level playing field, so everybody's got the same shot.
Could not be said better.
Beautifully said.
Jerry, good?
Anyway, yes?
Good. Tell him we said hello. How about Bird? Is Bird doing good?
Bird is doing fine. Bird is doing fine. He's looking terrific. He's feeling terrific. He's looking forward to this new season of ours. We've been together now, I think, about 35 years.
Oh, my goodness. wasn't he in high school a basketball player?
Yeah, he right. Those are in his very young days. Those, we're talking about half a century ago. Anyway, it's been just absolutely delightful to talk to you all. Brush up on that gin game, and we'll have a rematch soon. I look forward to it. Jack, continue to stay well. Watch me at 4 o'clock. I'll be looking for you. JT, it was lovely to meet you.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for being so generous with
have
your
great,
time. We love you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. How about hashtag Judy talk? Hashtag Jack talk and hashtag Judy talk. That was strong.
She's a well-accomplished author and great message.
Yeah, best-selling author, the Broadcasting and Cable Hall of Fame. She's been on the air 21 years, and that was phenomenal.
Pioneer of the industry.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people did it before her, but nobody's done it as long, as well as she has.
And you talk about being treated well. How well did she treat us when we were out there for the show?
The thing, let me go back to that card game. We were sitting in her
chambers.
Office, her chambers there, and she looked at you and she said, do you play cards?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And well, I play cards. And she said, would you like to play a game? And then she went on to describe that between each one of those sessions.
She does it to keep her mind sharp.
She likes to keep her mind sharp, yep. And the competitive juices
flowing. She's reading cases. And
so she plays, and she had a record of something like won 200 and some games to losing a number of games, and ask you the game that you preferred, right? And that was gin.
Gin.
So the game was played, and it was a tight game, and each of you could see a competition, and she wins.
She won.
So your lips started quivering, if I remember, and your eyes kind of glazed over, as some of us might have seen as we've gone through life with you. And it was like, rematch. I want a rematch. And she goes, no, Jim, there are no rematches.
That's right.
But she sounded like she's opened it up for you.
She's
giving you another crack at it.
She just opened up for a rematch. That's great. We need to get back out there. That'd be.
Oh, let's do it.
The amount of wise words and lessons learned watching Judge Judy is a lot. Phenomenal.
We talk about making excuses, don't whine, don't pout.
Yeah.
And she has
don't
a great
complain.
Line. And the great line is when she's all finished and somebody's talking and wants to make excuses about life, how life has left them behind, she'll say, I don't care. I don't really care.
I like when somebody's trying to give her a line of baloney too, yeah. You know. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
You guys.
A closed mind is a dangerous thing.
You like her because
she's got so
I
many
see
good
the
ones.
Same lines from you guys. You guys have a common thread. You stand up for what's right, what you believe in. You can't be talked off of it. And when somebody's feeding you baloney, you guys are the first one to call them on it. Works pretty well.
Yeah. Love watching her show.
She's great at getting at the truth, too. She can get right in there.
And in a limited amount of time, no less, right?
15 minutes.
How do you know, according to Judge Judy, here's one for you, Dan. How do you know if a teenager's lying? How can you tell if a teenager's lying?
His mouth is moving.
Their mouth is moving. Yeah, that's a classic.
Well, that is it for our time with Judge Judy. When we come back on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, we will have Jack talk, and Jack will be talking about having a winning attitude. Back on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, and this segment of hashtag Jack talk is brought to you by TrueCar. You heard Sarah Harbaugh and I talking about it last week, but TrueCar is the number one way to go when you are looking for a new car. They have over 3 million cars sold to TrueCar users through the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide. So once you register, you'll see a real price on actual inventory. They're really competitive pricing. You know all the incentives up front, so you get real pricing on real vehicles that are on location, ready to be purchased through TrueCar. So you connect with a local certified dealer. Choosing is really easy, quick, enjoyable buying experience. I think everybody could use that from a car purchase. So a well-informed decision from one of the 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers in the certified TrueCar dealer network. So when you're not sure what to do, your next car purchase, certainly go with TrueCar. All right, Jack, hashtag Jack talk here. And you've got a lot of sayings that I've heard you use that are decades old, most notably, better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today, attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, who's got it better than us, and those are so overwhelmingly positive. I'm wondering how you arrived at those quotations, how you got to using them, and then
what you feel like you've gotten in life out of having that kind of a mindset.
It goes all the way back to growing up and growing up in a community, Crestline, Ohio, where we all were friends. And what it came to as you started coaching, you know, you wanted something to be a message, something you wanted to be a positive message, something you could take with you away from football. And then we found out we used those in our football coaching experience, and the team that we were most interested in, my wife and I, was our own family. So we started, when they were just little, started to use those kinds of things. And the thing we found out, that when you talk about who's got it better than us, and you look into their eyes, and whether it's a player that you're coaching or whether it's a coach that you're coaching with or whether it's your own son and daughter or grandchild, and they look you right in the eye and they go, nobody. I promise you they have the biggest smile on their face that you could ever want. And whatever you were talking about, whether you were talking about some way that they might be a little bit better or something that they did, they might have made a bad choice on and they might have made a little different choice. You move away from that, you get your message across, and then who's got it better than us? No matter what, it's us. Nobody does. And then tack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I mean, win, lose, or draw. The next day, the sun will come up. It's a brand new day. And how you attack that day is going to define who you are. And it's going to find the next day and the next day after that. So that message resonates with players and coaches and people that you deal with. So it's become a part of our family, of which we're very proud. Now we got 4-year-old grandchildren reciting it.
No doubt. And I tell you, we have veterans of the game at Michigan. And each game, each home game, we honor them. And I think it was Sergeant John Fredericks, and he had his son Joe and his grandson Tyler and almost 60 people with them at the game this past week. And you really get a chance to see some people who have attacked each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And they've served their country, and they've come back to Michigan. And really, they are embodiments of a lot of that positivity. And I think there's something to be said for it almost being a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep saying it, you keep believing it, you keep committing to having that attitude and that outlook on life, I think it turns into exactly what you – it's not it is what it is. It is what you make it.
Make it.
Right? And I think you look at your kids. You look at Joni and Tom, overwhelmingly successful, doing well for themselves, great kids. Same with Jim. Same with John. I mean, you got to feel proud and feel like you did something right. And Jackie, of course, in the parenting with that type of mantra and philosophy, right?
We're very blessed. And I think it's life is attitude. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said it about as well as anyone. It's all about enthusiasm and how you approach that next day.
Now, so you've had the opportunity to share these lessons and these adages with your former players, and you do it with them at a very pivotal time, 18 to 23 years old, generally. When you see your players, do you feel like that you've achieved that, you've given that gift to them, and then they've taken that with them throughout the rest of their lives?
We've talked about this before. As a coach, coaching for 46 years, and that about 2002, and then being around John and Jim and Tom Crean as they've coached, I've learned that games become fuzzy. You know, wins and losses become fuzzy. Couldn't tell you how many wins, can't tell you how many losses. Can't remember the scores of different games. Some games stand out a little more than others, but it becomes very fuzzy. But the thing that never becomes fuzzy are your players, the memories of your players. And we come back, talk to one of our former players this morning, Norm Hillstrom from over in Cleveland, Ohio. Coached him back in 1970 and 71. And he's talking about something that we talked about, something that we said that impacted his life, and went on to be a coach, went on to be a college coach, went on to be a high school administrator, raised family, got grandchildren. And here he is telling me and share with Jackie about coming to our house on a Thursday during the season, having dinner with us, running around with the kids, and something you might have said that made a difference in his life. That's what it's all about, and that's what makes us so very proud.
I don't know that you've stopped coaching. I don't think any coach ever stops coaching, because I've seen you spend time individually. I've seen you spend time with Drake Harris. I've seen you spend time with Chris Evans. I've seen you spend time with each one of our coaches to continue to have an impact on the program that you're involved with. So is it fair to say that you're still coaching, just maybe not in an official coaching role?
The X's and O's have passed me by. I mean, they have passed me by in a flash.
Coach Jim is from the other room screaming, "No, they haven't."
But they really haven't. It's a different game today.
Coach Jim would like to note that Coach Jack put in three successful plays this past week and a 9-yard gain on one of them.
Okay.
Are you prepared to take some credit and say the X's and O's are still there?
But I will say this. The X's and O's I really have left me, but I do enjoy being around the players. And something happens to you when you're around a player and you look in their eye and you see that little twinkle in their eye, and they want to talk about football and how it's gone. They want to talk about their family at home. They want to talk about things that are going in their lives and grandfathers. Just Brandon Peters. Every time I talk, we talk about grandpa. He talks about he's so proud of his grandfather, and he gets a chance to come to the games and watch. And here I am, a grandfather. I can just imagine how his grandfather feels and how he felt on Saturday when Brandon came into the game and played. And that after the game is over, the grandpa's out in the parking lot, I would think, and Brandon walked out. I'm going to get a little emotional on this now, I promise you. But Brandon's walking over to his grandfather, and his grandfather, pick it up for me if you would.
I didn't see the post game with Brandon and his grandfather. I do know that I
didn't see it either. I'm okay. Just imagining what it.
Oh, the beaming with pride.
Oh,
right?
The grandfather looking into his eyes, and Brandon, the emotion. Maybe grandpa might not even have been at the game, but I'm just imagining what that reunion was when they had a chance to meet and talk about it.
And as a proud grandparent, you are you can expect the Peters grandfather to be boring the neighbors and the local community about, you know, the stories of Brandon playing. And I remember my grandfather coming to my games, and it's just different. It's special. You know, I love my mom, love my dad, love my sister, love all my friends. But when your grandpa comes to a game, it's just different. That's all I can say for it. And I don't really know. You just know that they've seen so much, and that is the pinnacle of their day, maybe their week, month, year, maybe their life, to see that two generations from them, they're able to achieve at such a high level. That's really special.
Yeah, that's kind of what, at our age, my wife Jackie and I is enjoying that through our friends that we've made in the past, but through our children and our grandchildren, and being here in this building with players who are our extended family.
It's terrific. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We definitely we want to thank Judge Judy for coming on with us. She was world class, as we expected her to be. Want to thank somebody who has worked here in the building, Randy Duncan, has his sons listening. I think they're like elementary school, young kids. So Chris and Nolan Duncan, we got to give you a shout out, because Randy was in here last week and saying you guys listen to it. And
my biggest fan is IMG down in Bradenton, Florida. Is Riley Crean.
A lot
there'll
of listenership.
Be a call. There'll be a call coming through. He'll critique it. He'll tell us, where we might have done deeds a little bit better, but it will always be with a smile on his face. He's got some great things for us to do in later weeks.
Well, we've got a Riley Crean abduction story.
we do have that coming up.
Now, Riley might remember it differently, but the threat and the reality of abduction seemed imminent. So,
and grandfathers all over the country will listen to that story and know when you're on watch.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Let's tease it a little bit. I'm just going to. So the setting is Riley had been dropped off.
Pilates. They call it Pilates.
Pilates.
And he's trying to do some stretching things. And when he moved to Bradenton, he couldn't find a place. So he just went online and found a place. It was about a half hour away. I'd ask if I'd drive him over. So I did.
We got to finish the story next week.
Dropped him off.
Dropped it off. You come back. Place is empty, right?
There's building is locked up.
Building's locked.
Lights are out.
Lights are out.
Pounding on the door.
And one shady.
Screaming, let me in!
So you're trying to get in there. Nobody's answering. There's one shady van in the parking lot.
With no license plate on it.
With no license plate. So you're thinking the worst.
Been kidnapped. He's halfway someplace.
And on your watch, no
less. On my watch.
So you're down a grandchild, and your daughter might not ever talk to you again.
All those things ran through my mind.
Okay, so we'll finish that story next week on the next edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. We want to thank our sponsors, MeUndies. Definitely thank TrueCar. Thank everybody at WTKA, Ira Weintraub and Company. Podcast One, you can listen on podcastone.com or the Podcast One app. And you can find more quotes from Jack Harbaugh in the new book, Rise Again. We've got 100 of the Harbaugh family quotations. Future episodes, looking to get Rich Eisen, maybe some of the other Harbaughs, and looking forward to having you guys back next week for our 10th episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, here on Podcast One. Don't forget to subscribe at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
we
company.
We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
Three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
this
that's
is a
correct.
Family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because
thank
of
you.
Course behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big.